Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving, where we give you information and education on senior caregiving topics. My name is Ryan McInniff. I am here with my co-host, Janet. Janet, what is going on?
Oh, we're just having a great old time.
Oh, we are.
We have new toys. We're getting used to our new mics and better sound, and we're really going to town with it.
Yes, we are. We better not fold, because I don't know what I'm going to do with all this equipment if we don't need it anymore. I don't have a garage band to use it for. I'm going to have to just do a podcast talking about myself if this doesn't work out, you know.
We'll be okay.
Anyways, today's topic is we're going to be talking about 8 things to know about falls in seniors. But before we get in that, I want to give you a quick tip. Kind of a new thing that we're going to be doing at the beginning of every episode. One thing that I think has been really good that we did was on our blog over at Minute Women Home Care. If you go into Google and you type in the 50 best caregiving tools, you'll see our blog come up. And a quick tip, if you are a family caregiver and you want to understand some tools that are out there on the internet, this blog will do an outstanding job for you. It will talk to you about general tools, cost of care payments, talk about hospitals and doctors, assisted living facilities, nursing homes, home care, VNA, adult day, Alzheimer's and dementia, some different forums that you can go to. It's a bunch of great tools that you can look at and find information and resources on specific topics that might pertain to you and what your needs are. So you can go over to Google, type in the 50 best caregiving tools, our blog will come up, and that will give you a ton of resources to check out. Just a quick tip for you. Another thing before we get into it, if you wouldn't mind clicking on that subscribe button, clicking on that like button, giving us a 5-star rating, giving us maybe a 4-star rating, 1-star and 2-star ratings, just hang up the phone. Don't listen to us. If you don't like us, I'm sorry. I wish we did a better job, but we want those 5- and 4-star ratings because
we think we do a pretty good job.
We do a good job here. We try to do a good job.
We want our ego stroked once in a while.
And so we're going to beg and plead, and hopefully we can get some of those 5-star ratings. So
that's right.
It would be greatly appreciated if you do that in all seriousness. If you don't, we won't take it personally. We do appreciate you listening in one way or another, as Janet cries over there. So today we are talking about 8 things to know about falls in seniors. And I think we can say that there's 1 of 2 common denominators for basically every case that we get, and it's either dementia or it's falls. It's that safety awareness where somebody does not realize that they cannot be going up and down the stairs on their own anymore at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to have a fall. And even though they've had 3 falls already,
they're not counting.
It's not counting. Doesn't matter. I'm fine.
Aging obstacles.
Exactly.
They just don't go well together.
Absolutely. So with falls being one of the biggest reasons why seniors are in hospitals, seniors go to rehab centers, why in our last podcast about family caregiving, there's a huge reason why family caregivers are unpaid because they need to provide care for a loved one that's had falls. We wanted to talk about 8 things you should know, 8 statistics, 8 tidbits, whatever you want to call them, about falls in seniors. The first one, and I only picked the statistics that I'm sitting there reading through. I'm going, really? That's insane. 87% of all fractures in the elderly are due to falls. And 2/3 of them will also fall again within 6 months of their original fall.
Yep.
87% of all fractures in the elderly are because
of falls. The elderly don't bounce so well.
Apparently not.
Little kids, they bounce. They're closer to the ground to begin with.
And the more I read these statistics, not to just be selfish, but the more I'm worried about myself.
As you should be.
I'm 6'6". Big men fall hard. So when
that's
I'm
true.
Old and can't,
gravity works.
Oh, gravity works. So like the 5'4" guy probably doesn't have as much momentum going down as the 6'6" guy. So I'm probably going to break. I'm going to break something bad. I hope not, but I'm a little worried about that. But 87% of all fractures, and of those 87% of the people that have fractures, 100% of them are going to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Then most of them are going to a rehab facility.
Or they don't tell anybody.
Oh, that's true.
And then things get, yep, that's a problem too.
Well, that's your first statistic on 87% of all fractures in the elderly are due to falls. And so when an older person falls, they stay in a hospital is twice as long as other older patients. So when you have a fall, you're in the hospital for a lot longer than other people are on average in the hospital from. And that reminds me of a case we had recently where a gentleman left the hospital because he had a fall.
Mm-hmm.
And when we saw him, I saw him because I was out there at night and then the next morning, this guy was weak. He was disoriented. He was confused. He was in no shape to be on his own whatsoever. I mean, what do you generally see when people are leaving hospitals, especially after falls and things like that?
Well, if they've been in the hospital for any length of time, they haven't been out of bed much. So like you say, they're weak. Their balance is probably not that good, or certainly wasn't as good as it was at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... another thing especially is if you fall, think about it. If you touch the stove and you burn yourself, you look for a hot stove before you put your hand down the next time. If you've had a fall, people tend to look down. They're looking for something in front of them that might cause them to fall.
Yeah.
And in do that, they in turn, they end up tumbling over because they're looking down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's overall an issue. And so that brings us into kind of another one, which we kind of talked about it with when they leave hospitals, they're usually weaker, they're disoriented. We kind of got ahead of ourselves, or I did. But that also leads to a fact of that the senior will think that they have the ability to do a lot more things than they really do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talked about being in the bed. They haven't, moved around much. They're weaker. They haven't used their legs as much. But additionally, they've had somebody help them to the bathroom, maybe help somebody use the bathroom, use the shower. All their food has been brought to them. All their medication is brought to them.
They have been hydrated. They have been given fluids on a regular basis.
Absolutely. So when they think that, hey, I'm good. I'm fine.
Superman.
And then, yeah. And then all of a sudden they get into the situation where they're home and they're alone, or they have, an inadequate amount of help for them. All of a sudden reality hits, and that's again where these readmissions come back.
Absolutely. And when someone's in the hospital, the healthcare industry has spent billions of dollars having beds the right height, doorways the right width, safety bars everywhere.
Yeah.
And you get home and you're home. And you don't have those things, and maybe your bed is low, maybe your mattress is soft, maybe your doorway is narrow, and you suddenly find that you're not doing quite as well as you thought you were.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from on that. That's a good point. Sometimes people don't think the billions of dollars put into the engineering behind these products to only find out that none of those products are in your home when you arrive. And that makes recovery that much harder.
Yep.
It's those things. So another statistic, it's not even a statistic, it's just common knowledge in the industry that
in the fall business
yeah in the fall business that they I think would be surprising that you wouldn't realize people would say, but nobody wants to think that their parent lies, right? Nobody lies. And we're not talking about outright lying, we're talking about lying by omission. And what I mean that is your parents, the seniors, we're talking about your parent right now, will not report falls to you. And they will not talk about them, and they will not tell you that they've had that fall, especially if they've been able to recover somehow on their own.
That's right.
They are afraid of the fear of losing their independence. They're afraid that they're all of a sudden going to be coddled like a child, and that they're going to lose the life that they've become accustomed to, where they can live on their own by themselves without people having to worry about them, without having the calls to check in all the time, et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
And if they suspect that they may be telling fiblets, they get even better at it. And they'll tell you less and less.
Yep.
And I will not name family members to protect the guilty, but I've gone through that myself where I find out, a while later, and it's like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Oh, well, but it's okay now.
Yeah, it's okay now. Well, no, because
that dog happened. Ate my homework. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and a telltale sign, and just another quick tip, is if you notice there has been a change, or you're getting reports that there's been a change in your parents' social life, how often they're going outside, how often they're meeting up with friends. If they start to become more introverted, where they're more homebound rather than being out and about, that is a red flag. That is a symptom of somebody who's had falls. And
yep.
The reaction is, the less I'm on my feet, and it's true, the less they're on their feet, the less likely they're going to have a fall. I mean, it's completely understandable. But one of the things that happens, not only is their quality of life goes down because they're not getting that social interaction that we need as human beings, but the less they use their legs, the weaker they get.
That's right.
And the more likely they are to have a fall when they are using their legs. So then all of a sudden, by being less active, they're increasing their risk of a fall when they happen to walk around the house.
Yeah, or they're sending you in the wrong direction with some of the comments they're making. They tell you to cancel the morning newspaper because they really aren't interested in reading anymore. So now you're thinking maybe they've got problems with their vision and you're worried about getting them to the eye doctor, when the reality is they're afraid to step out on the porch because they think they might trip and fall picking up the paper. You know, so it can be very indirect, subtle yeah. kinds of things. Or you notice that laundry isn't getting done. Well, you know, it's not, everybody doesn't have laundry on the main floor. You know, most houses in New England, the washer and dryer are down in the basement. Well, if they're afraid of the stairs, and they have good right to be afraid of a lot of basement stairs, that's why they're not doing it as much. But they're, I'm fine. Nope, I'll get to it.
I'm 34 years old and I'm scared of my girlfriend's basement stairs. Those things are, no, I'm scared of both her stairs. Even her stairs going upstairs her stairs going to the second floor are even steep, where like you go down them, and if you have socks on and you slip, whew,
yep,
you're gonna hurt. So I mean, you know, I'm an able-bodied, big, strong guy, and I'm like, oh, these stairs are iffy at best. You know?
Yeah, you go some places and they have these, or into certain buildings, they have a wide staircase, but there aren't rails. And I had a shoulder injury years back, and where I had worked at the time, there was a wide staircase. And I could go down one side because I could hold the railing. There was no railing on the other side. Yeah. I was terrified. And I was like, you sissy. But, you know, you had a fall. You remember it.
Absolutely. So another one to know about, kind of another interesting statistic, and I have no numbers to back this up because I know they're somewhere out there, but bathrooms and kitchens, that's where the falls occur. That's where you need to be most concerned with falls. Anywhere where there's slick surfaces and there's water is a recipe for a fall. And I would say the bathroom's probably number one, and then the kitchens are number two. But you're more clinical, Jana. What do you think?
Well, in the bathroom, too, there's the water.
I know what you're going to say already.
There's the rugs.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
But the one that a lot of people don't notice is the powder. And ladies love dusting powder, or, you know, baby powder or whatever. That on a hard surface is slicker than water. And you will just go down so fast. So, you know, it's one of those things that someone wants to smell nice, especially if they choose not to wash as often as they should. It's like, we'll just perfume it a little bit. Dusting powder is deadly.
Yeah, absolutely. I never would have thought about that in a million years. Oh. What is it? Men are from Venus, women are from Mars, or whatever it is. There's your exam. Like, what?
Yep.
Dusting powder. What would ever need that? But that makes sense. Like, you know, that product or whatever, anything that gets on that floor, that makes it more slick. I would highly recommend, like, the second you think a parent's stability is a little off, rip up those rugs. Rip up the rugs. Throw rugs. Get rid of them. Throw them out. Whether they're a throw rug, whether they're a big rug, get rid of them. Don't, and then you're going to be paying me money. But that's the reason why we've gotten business, because people trip on those throw rugs.
Yep.
Put grab bars in anywhere and everywhere. It doesn't matter. Look at the staircase railing. Is it one of those flimsy ones, or would it be worthwhile to have a contractor to come over, handyman come over, and put in like a steel bolted
sturdy
into the studs to make sure that thing is sturdy?
Absolutely. I can't count the number of people that will ask us if the caregiver can take mom and dad for a walk after lunch. And I hate to sound like I'm being negative, but my first thought is, How's the access in and out of the house? Stepping up, stepping down, out the door. Is there one of those metal rails that's sturdy or not sturdy? How are the stairs and walkways? Take them for a walk down the sidewalk. There's a tree stump that's made the walkway uneven. You know, so it's one of those things that just because of what we do, I think of it automatically.
Yeah.
But it's like those are things, a harmless go for a walk on a sunny day. You know, you got to be careful.
Got to be very careful. And so don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid of putting those grab bars. I mean, think about it. Those grab bars, let's say you spend $1,000 on grab bars and installation, having somebody go out and do it. It might even be on the high end. I don't know.
But you put, on the high end.
You put grab bars everywhere. You put them in the bathroom. You put them in the upstairs, downstairs bathroom. You put in a bunch of money, you know, put some of that money towards a really sturdy railing so that they can get up and down the staircase. You can put grab bars in the hallway. You can put
And anywhere. It doesn't have to look like a facility.
Yeah, it doesn't have to look like a facility. But here, my point is, you spending $1,000 on grab bars might prevent you from spending $10,000 a month with me.
Absolutely.
At this point in time, when somebody gets older, it costs money. It just does. And so once you get into the system of hospitals, nursing homes, assisted livings, or private home care, you're going to spend money. So my feeling is putting a little bit of money up on preventing this is could save you tens of thousands of dollars. Now, you never know if it does, right? Because
don't know what you saved.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what you saved because you don't
know
how many times
spent.
It saved you. But
yep.
But my feeling is that money that you can put into grab bars and some basic things, even if it ends up being $1,000 or $2,000, is chump change compared to getting 24-hour care or paying for 2 or 3 years out of pocket at a SNF, you know, that's charging you $7,000 a month,
yep,
whatever it might be.
And that's a good way to sell to a family member that wants to live alone.
Yeah.
You know, to say to them, I need to have the bars. You want to stay here? You need to have the bars. And they may fight you for it, but I bet if you peeked in the window, you'd find they were using it when
absolutely,
they didn't think you were around.
Absolutely. Just like they won't tell you that they fell in the first place. Well, I don't use those bars, and they're holding on to dear life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just something, you know, I understand that $1,000 or $2,000 isn't chump change to everybody, but I'm just putting it into the perspective of that upfront cost is small in comparison to what you could end up paying over a long period of time for care.
There are a lot of almosts,
yep,
that don't have to happen.
Absolutely. So one thing I didn't know, that falls, I don't know if you knew this either, let me know. Falls are the most common cause of traumatic brain injury in seniors. I mean,
yep,
I guess that makes total sense, right? Because
yep,
seniors aren't driving as much, and they certainly aren't driving very fast.
True. True.
But in all seriousness, if they're not out and about driving as much, well, how do they cause brain injury? Well, we'll be falling and banging your head off of something.
And as you age, your brain shrinks. Some of us, I think our brain's shrinking sooner than expected, but that's the way it is. But when your brain shrinks and then you have a fall, it's not just that you hit your head, your brain's bouncing around inside because it's smaller. It fits tight when you're young.
Yeah.
You know, you notice little babies have big heads. And then they, you know, it kind of shrinks more proportionally as you get older. But it's because people bang their head, their brain bangs inside their head that causes the trauma. It's not just because you saw what they hit. So that's why you'll hear unobserved falls is like a phrase you hear in nursing homes and other places. It's like if somebody fell and you didn't see them, did they bang their head?
Yeah.
It may not be a bruise, but they could have banged their head.
Did the tree fall and did it make noise?
That's right. Exactly.
So and on top of this, with all of this, and some people might be out there thinking, well, you know, that's not going to happen to me or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, it will.
Everybody, well, not that only will happen to you, but everybody's involved in this because 75% of all those hospital visits, all that rehab, the $50+ billion industry that is senior falls, gets reimbursed by Medicare.
We're paying for it.
We're all paying for it. So, you know, it's not just that it happens to individuals or that family over there. Everybody's taxpayers are going towards this issue because You know, almost every single senior is on some type of Medicare or Medicaid services, because why wouldn't you be? It's no out-of-pocket cost. So just know that, you know, it's a huge industry, and it's a, and I mean by industry, it's a huge cost for hospitals and all these different rehab centers. It's not necessarily an industry, but it's $50+ billion are spent every year on senior falls, and the vast majority of that is covered by the government, which is covered by us, the taxpayers. So I thought that was an interesting thing to remember. Because I didn't really think about it in those terms. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, think of the billions they're spending on head injuries for athletes and equipment for athletes. And they're focusing on that. Well, there's a little old lady with no helmet on.
Yeah.
And their brain's bruised.
So what I'm hearing, you know? Janet, is we need to come up with fashionable helmets for
exactly.
the senior population.
Exactly.
All right, we're closing down Minute Women. We're starting a startup. And we're gonna
there you
that.
Go. I have to say just a funny comment. I was over at Mass General, which is a very large hospital, and I'm going through the lobby, and there was this woman who was clearly well off and yeah. impeccably dressed, and she must have been a fall risk. She was wearing a velvet riding hat. It was a hard hat, but it looked very classy.
Hey.
So she knew to protect her head from falls.
Whatever you got to do, right, at the end of the
yep.
day. So, and finally, in wrapping it up, falls, as you can imagine, if it can lead to a traumatic brain injury, it can lead to broken bones. And 95% of all hip fractures are from falls. And interesting enough, these falls, from what this said, were side to side, not front to back, which
yep.
I didn't. Why is that?
Well, your tendons and all, as they get weaker, it's that lateral motion.
All right.
I mean, you look at people, anybody from the Boston area that follows Pedroia, who hasn't been playing for the Red Sox. One of the reasons he's had such a hard time is baseball's not a game where you just run forwards and backwards. It's the lateral. And they lose that strength.
All right.
And also what happens is there are a number of people, they don't fall and break something. They have osteoporosis or a bone thinning or some other issue where the bone breaks and causes them to fall. So people think they were a klutz, and it was really they didn't drink enough of their milk and whatever when they were younger, huh. and they have thin bones.
Yeah, I've heard that before as well.
Yep.
You know, and that's interesting, because you think, how do they know that? Because, you know, like, they must be able to see it somehow in the break or whatever, and the, mm-hmm. the studying of what the break looks like, because, you know, this says, you know, 95% of those hip fractures are from falls. Well, maybe the hip fracture was already there and you fell because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess either way, at the end of the day, you've got a broken hip, and that's not a good thing.
And that's why they do bone density testing so much more now. And it tells you you're more fragile, but it isn't always something you can do something about.
All right. And so, but also just to remind people, you know, the other thing that this can lead to is it can lead to broken wrists, broken ankles, broken arms. So, you know, when people put out their arm to block that
yep.
fall, that's where those injuries can occur. So, you know, it becomes more even more dangerous. And one of the final things, when you're on blood thinners, you know, you're dealing with a brain bruise where there's bleeding, and then you're on Coumadin or whatever it is because you've had a heart attack or whatever reason you need it. I mean, a lot of people are on blood thinners, and then all of a sudden you don't stop bleeding, and
yep.
you need to go to the hospital. We've seen that firsthand as well, where it's like, well, you know, we need to get you checked out. So if you're on blood thinners and somebody bumps their head and they seem fine, well,
yep.
if you weren't on blood thinners, you probably would be fine. You can just walk it off, right? But if you're on blood thinners, you need to get that MRI to make sure that there's no brain bleeding that's going to, you know, not just continue, but there's
right.
nothing going on. So it's
yeah,
just
I mean,
something
the whole point of a blood thinner is to prevent blood from clotting and having a clot cause serious damage. But as a result, you cut yourself, you're going to bleed more.
Absolutely.
Or internal bleeding that nobody sees.
So there you go, folks. There's some things about falls, some statistics and information about falls that we thought would be worthwhile for you to know. You know, just something to think
Best
about.
Best in bubble wrap.
Yeah, right.
Just right. wrap everybody up.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of some crazy skits I've seen on YouTube. Anyways, mm-hmm. Like skateboarders jumping off of like a two-story building wrapped in bubble wrap to see if they still make it down.
There you go. The guy in the bubble wrap suit, because he couldn't afford insurance.
There you go. There you go. Why use a seatbelt?
There you go.
Anyways, thank you very much for listening. If you have the time, give us subscribe. Give us great ratings. We appreciate that. And we will see you on the next one. And again, I hope you're enjoying the lovely sounds of our new podcasting material. It's so
smooth move getting
smooth,
this.
Smooth equipment.
There you go.
But with that being said, we will see you on the next one. And we do appreciate your patronage and your listening. So we will catch you on the next one. Thank you very much. Have a good day.